When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome back in. Mornings with Sharp and Hanley. Jimmy here as well on this Monday morning after Dylan Raiola showed up and showed out.
Yeah, he did.
Just, but we're going to get to Gary here, who has a comment about what happened in our community on Friday. I'm going to say you guys were surprised. I'm going to say a lot of people were surprised. I'll explain why I think you were surprised on Saturday.
Well, you're sitting next to me and...
Well, but I've seen
there's a few gasps that I had audibly, I think.
Yeah, but I've seen him.
Yeah.
So that's why when I came back last Monday and I said, go all in.
Yeah, get it.
But I think people were surprised by one element, and it's okay to say I was surprised. I'll explain that after we talk to Gary on the 42 Degree The Source hotline. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Mr. Sharp. Where were all you people in 1975?
I was not born yet, but I knew. I'm glad you brought that up because that's the one that everyone talks about.
That was my senior year at a high school in Omaha. Graduated in 75, and memories come back to the fact that it was us, Prep, and then Westside were getting ready to play a golf match at Applewood, which is now Johnny Goodman. And the weather reports made us go underneath a tunnel going from 9 green to 10T, and we sat there and waited until the all clear was done. And then by the time I got home, we lived off 60th and Blondo. My grandmother was underneath next to the bed, and then it started at 99th and Q, came all the way across 72nd with Zarbin. My mother was at the horse races at Zarbin. They all had to go in the tunnel. But it brings back the memories. The reason I'm bringing it up is my prayers go to those people, but we will, Nebraska, Omaha will be back. We did it in 75 with that major one, and we'll do it again. But it was a nightmare. A friend of mine and I went to go to see a girl and a friend of ours on 69th and Blondo. We couldn't get to, but 66th and Blondo, had to walk. And the debris and how tornadoes work is just it's just unbelievable. Yeah. Houses on the other side of the street barely touched.
Mm-hmm.
Houses on the west side of 69th Blondo destroyed. It's just sad. But my prayers go out to those people. But yeah, if you ever go through the archives and can see what happened in May of 75, we're grateful. But hey, we did come back, and everybody will come back.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
My prayers out to everybody. And spring game was great. We got a quarterback.
Gary, thanks for the phone call. Like I mentioned in the open, really good friend of mine. His house was damaged, but it's salvageable part of it. He's going through it, man, because across the street, his best friend, their house is basically gone. And his side of the street barely touched. And emotionally, he's riding the roller coaster, but God dang, it's, you know, the support and compassion of people that we know in this community, and some of us have seen it up close. Southwest Florida Dave and I have both gone through hurricanes, and he's absolutely right. There are three sounds after a storm. It's sirens, it's chainsaws, and generators.
Yeah, generators.
I won't be able to get the sound of the chainsaws out of my head for a while.
Yeah. At the day after, many people have heard of this one, Greensburg in 07, EF5 wiped the town off the map. And my buddy was living in Wichita at the time, and I was visiting for the weekend. We were going to go hang out and do what 24-year-old single males do on a weekend out in the town and whatnot. And anyway, long story short, he was ended up doing some freelancing for ABC the next day, and we went to Greensburg. And so when you said the chainsaws and everything, what I remember is the smell of splintered lumber.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
It is a fascinating, hard to replicate, and that's what you, and that, and the chainsaws.
Guys, real quick, I just want to pass this along just with I know. I hope people are tuning in this morning, not only to get a little bit of escape from it, especially if you're impacted, if you're a volunteer and you're getting back out there to volunteer, but a little bit of the information that we're getting daily. And thank you to the American Red Cross for doing this, that they do have two essentially checkpoints set up, one in Elkhorn, one in Blair, for anyone needing a place to stay. Also for any type of immediate or long-term goods that you could use in the time being as well. Just call 1-800-RED-CROSS. It's 1-800-733-2767 to get any type of relief supplies you need. And if you are looking to volunteer as well and help the efforts, maybe you have a day or maybe you're taking a couple days off because you want to be a part of the volunteer efforts, you can go to redcross.org. And you can also get on their Facebook page as well, facebook.com/NEIA Red Cross or Twitter NEIA Red Cross for our Nebraska and Iowa residents all impacted by that.
And also thanks to Will here. Will knows what we're going through. Will said, I'm from Pilger. You guys helped us when we went through our major tornado a little over a decade ago. A lot of people in Pilger are thinking about people in Omaha. So thank you very much. The spring game on Saturday, which, you know, the atmosphere, I call it Nebraska's largest spring social event. And I think the timing was right. We need a little relief, need a little step back. You know, once people found out you're from Omaha, everybody's asking, hey, how you doing? But, you know, I mean, surreal is that the tornado that went towards Waverly was, you know, a lot of the videos and photos, you know, from Memorial Stadium. So you're like, whoa, what a difference a day makes. But we kind of needed that. And it was good atmosphere. I will say this. So let me preface this by, we're going to talk a lot about quarterbacks this morning. Sometimes I'm going to talk about three grouped together, and then I'm going to talk about the guy who has a different feel for how to play that position with poise, vision, and touch. But whatever you take out of the spring game, whether you want to buy into stuff or you are just there to have a good time and wondering why you can't go on the field and say no to drugs...
You could be a teammate now. That's
Nebraska,
what it is.
Nebraska has got the quarterback position right. They finally have somebody who coaches that position that is good at development and has a keen eye for the technical part. And then they have added two guys that are quarterbacks by nature and another quarterback that probably Glenn Thomas came a year too late. They finally got the quarterback position right at Nebraska, where it's going to be a position that is taught, where it's not just the first read, boom. It's a progression. And as a result, the offense will be able to do things that you probably haven't seen in a while, whether it be in the run game, the pass game, or with their offensive line. But I will say this, again, if you had heard me or anybody else talking about the spring from what we had seen from Dylan Raiola, you were probably expecting the offense to look better. And remember, there were a lot of guys on both sides of the ball that are going to play a lot in the fall that did not play. Right. So that kind of changes some things, or it helps your cause. But you probably went to the game on Saturday and you said, okay, I knew the offense would be better because of the triggermen.
Right.
But I bet you were surprised that Raiola looks like that.
Oh, I admit it. Absolutely 100% admit it.
I mean, I've seen his dad play for the Chiefs, so.
And here's some of the things that you can glean from when it came to just videos, where everybody was talking about it a lot, the flick and how effortless it looks. And I remember watching the Polynesian Bowl. And again, you can take so much from that, but what was impressive to me on Saturday, and we get it as far as who was in and who was out when it came to different levels of the defense, but what you can tell that just looks different when it stands out is the timing as to which the ball comes out, the accuracy, even on something is what I've always thought as basic as a swing pass to get your receiver in stride, to set him up to where his blocking is set up. Like you're actually getting it to that spot where he doesn't have to change course and set everything timing wise off. little things like that. And then when it came to the deep ball, and this is when I loved being in the press box, the touchdown pass to Jalen Lloyd, is you see that developing as Jalen's getting separation. You see that ball come out, and you're watching it, and the only thing you're wondering is Jalen catch up to it? And, of course, he did. It was a perfect throw. All of those little things, yet it comes back to, in my opinion, what I saw in the Polynesian Bowl. What I've seen from videos throughout the spring is there is an effortless approach to the way that he gets rid of the football. There's confidence, there's command, yep. There's a time that you know when to zip it into tight coverage and the time to show touch. Yep. All of that was on display in a lot of different throws that you saw on Saturday.
See, I think it feels different. Again, whether it be 15 or 15, 12, and 10, the quarterback position feels different. But with Dylan, he's got great vision. He's got great poise. He's got a touch on the football, and he can simply play pitch and catch, which is a very, very underrated thing by a quarterback, because if you're able to do all of those things, then it just opens up options on your offense. He does one thing by watching him, and I will preface all of this discussion that I still think Nebraska is a 7-5 team. Okay, I always walk away, when I walk across the field after the post-game press conferences, I always say, this is how they feel. I said last year they felt like a 6-6 team.
Close.
They still feel like a 7-5 team to me, because I got questions about the defense. I certainly have questions about the kicking game. But one thing, when you have the quarterback position solved, it gives you hope. You mm-hmm. can start to dream big things, what potentially could happen with somebody like that. And he stole the show. He did the little things. And you talk about the throw to Lloyd, which, yeah, impressive what Dylan did. I think even more impressive what Jalen did, because Jalen Lloyd is him.
Yeah.
Jalen Lloyd, Nebraska will have a wide receiver that will get all conference honors. Not saying first team, because wide receiver is a loaded position.
Right.
Nebraska will have a wide receiver that will get all Big Ten honors, and I believe that it will be Jalen Lloyd. Jalen Lloyd is him. I was almost more impressed by his tracking skills as well as Raiola's toss.
No, that's fair.
But that was not Raiola's best throw of the entire spring.
I agree.
The throw on the two-point conversion to Alex Bullock is the best throw that Dylan Raiola had the entire spring, in my opinion.
Winner. Yep, I'm right there with you.
Now, there's three in that game. So I think the two-point conversion is one. I think the touchdown pass to Lloyd is the other. And then I think the rollout to buy time and then find Flint for 29 mm-hmm. is his top three throws that I saw on Saturday. All different types of throws that give you, oh boy, this might be it.
Yeah, and I'd even throw in a fourth one in another Alex Bullock reception for a first down, and I think it went for about 20 yards on just a simple seam route. But this is where I go back to the timing. You had a defender that was over the top and a defender that was behind him. If you wait a second, defender has a chance to jump it possibly, or you have the guy underneath has a chance to come up underneath and make the play. So again, it was accuracy, timing, and being able to display the trajectory, that line that he throws on. Because the one, the Bullock on the two-point conversion, that was a rope. Absolute rope that he threw. Again, timing, accuracy, put it only where his receiver is going to be able to catch it with a lot of traffic there. Same thing on that first down to Alex Bullock as well. I go back, Gary, because I don't want to make it sound like Nebraska is we're patting him on the head for doing something that is very mundane. But how many times have we seen, even on a reception, a pass out on the perimeter where it takes a receiver back or he has to come down low to get it, and then all of a sudden timing-wise is set off. And all the blocking that was set up, everybody has now had a chance to corral the receiver, to corral the play, and get off of a block and hold that for a minimum game, heck, even a TFL. Everything from that standpoint on the perimeter, unless I missed maybe one, everything from the most part, I would say about 5 to 6 throws on the perimeter were all on time, all in stride, and allowed receivers to move upfield.
Yeah, there was another. So there's the part of understanding the position. And You have to manage the passing game first. Rule said a great thing after the game. He said, you can't be the quarterback and the wide receiver. And quarterbacks in Nebraska have tried to be that because they're more known for their legs than their arm, and they don't trust their arm. But he said, you can't do both. And I think all three quarterbacks manage the passing game first. And that goes a long way. But there's also the part of knowing the game, and you played quarterback for a long time. Raiola made a play. Was it third down? I can't remember what the down and distance was. But he didn't have a lot of options. It was a well-defended play. And instead of trying to fit it into a tight window, he tried to throw a pass to the boundary. Yep. It was almost like a post route. And either it's going to be an incredible catch or the ball's going to be out of bounds. Mm-hmm. Man, how many times last year did a Nebraska quarterback try and throw a football near the boundary that got picked off? Instead of, let's throw it so there's only one person that can catch it, and if they don't, it's going to be a souvenir for somebody on the sidelines. Yep. That's a lot of football IQ. But here's where I keep going back to. I'm walking out of the stadium, and I'm thinking the most important position on the field, Nebraska has finally got the position right because guys went through their progressions, and you could see that all three quarterbacks are better than the last time they were on a football field.
Mm-hmm.
Henrik Harburg, Glenn Thomas came a year too late for him. Dylan Raiola is number one, and there's a gap between him and Harburg. There's an even bigger gap between Harburg and Kalen. But Harburg looks different, okay? He had one of the nicest throws of the entire day.
Yep.
And then Danny Kalen just needs time playing with the speed of the college game. His poise at the end of the first half on a drive showed me that there's something there. That's another part I came away with. There's a lot of guys, young guys, that they maybe didn't flash, but they showed me enough on Saturday mm-hmm. that you have things to work with. Like Nebraska's baseline of where they're at right now compared to where they were on Black Friday of last year is higher.
Yeah.
How much higher can that go? That's all on them. But they at least have more to work with on April 29th than they did on, I don't know what November 25th, whatever that day was.
Mm-hmm.
So that's encouraging if you're looking at it from the standpoint of where this team is going to go. But they got the most important position on the field finally fixed and headed in the right direction.
Yeah, I would agree of quarterback in different moments. The Henrik Harburg pass to Borkature, which was a fantastic throw. He made a nice throw right on the boundary that ended up going for a touchdown probably. You're reviewing and everything probably would have been down to
it's a spring game.
It is a spring game, exactly. The throw, the execution, that's what you care about the most. And what we were told from Glenn Thomas, from Marcus Satterfield, was the ability to take a little bit of heat off that fastball with Henrik Harburg. And on a lot of those throws, I think you saw that. And so that's encouraging. You're right. I think the addition to Glenn Thomas, and people got to realize too, this is a small sample size of Glenn Thomas being there and having a chance to work with guys for 15 practices of what you'll have the ability to do going forward and then into the fall as well. It just seems like it. And I was watching a little bit of it last night again, just to kind of see the sideline interaction that we couldn't necessarily see up in the press box. And Glenn Thomas is constantly teaching, constantly taking those guys over, whether it was Luke Longvall or whether it was Henrik Harburg or Dylan Raiola. And you can tell there's a lot of understanding that dialogue just from what you could read there through the telecast of it. That to me is very, very important to have that type of relationship and to already see a guy. I think Henrik Harburg is probably the perfect example of that because Dylan Raiola comes in with skill set that I think you just expect that when you have that polished and fine-tuned and that's only going to get better, there should be probably an expectation there more so than a guy like Henrik Harburg who we saw last year. We're going beyond narrative of Henrik Harburg of being an athlete playing the quarterback position. We saw that last year for a handful of starts, and we saw the things that he can bring to the equation, and we unfortunately saw things that he really lacked. I'm not saying he's all of a sudden now a complete polished quarterback that, hell yeah, you could turn the keys over to him if you needed to, but just subtle adjustments in the passing game.
You feel
game.
Better about your backup quarterback in 24 than you did last year.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%, yes.
So, but it's over. If Henrik can say he's the incumbent, that's great, okay? That'll drive him. But there's a guy that wears 15 that has set him apart, set himself apart from the past quarterbacks here
mm-hmm.
and the present quarterbacks, and he's your number one quarterback.
Yeah.
And he carries himself like that on the field and off the field, and that's okay. And that's a good feeling to have. It's an extremely good feeling that to have if you're a Nebraska fan. And then now you hop in the car and get ready to ride the roller coaster of a freshman quarterback
mm-hmm.
playing college football, because not all days are going to look like they did on Saturday. There's going to be some bad days. But then what does that do the next Saturday? And he said something in the postgame presser, Nick, that he processes things differently than us.
Mm-hmm.
Because he talked about talked about his interception.
Yeah.
And he was already on to the next play, but he knew what he made a mistake doing.
Yep.
And I think that's something you can't teach.
Well,
I mean, that comes from being a quarterback at a high level for numerous years.
Yeah.
And then also, you gotta have a little knack. You just gotta have a knack for playing the position. And he's got that swag. It's different. I can't say it enough. Well, it's just different.
And I know you were in there listening to him talk. And I could imagine you've seen him before, but I could imagine when he also explained on the touchdown pass to Jalen Lloyd, this is again where he had a football nerd moment of actually, I missed that play in practice earlier in the week.
Yep.
Saw the safety had come over. I checked down. I saw that on film. I knew we were going to have the same type of look again. And so, again, this is, I mean, I expect a second, third-year veteran that's seen college football, seen different coverages like that. This goes back to his coaching being brought up as well. But that, to me, is just ingrained because it wasn't, you can tell when someone's trying to force the technical lingo down your throat. I just think that's how he processes and that's how he communicates things.
Yeah, the kid can ball, and because he can ball, there's things they can do that they haven't been able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be guys that are going to show up and show out, and you're going to be like, well, because they've unlocked areas that they can exploit right. offensively by just a quarterback that has touch, poise, and can play pitch and catch. The screen game, the RPO, I mean, it's almost unlimited what you should be able to do during the course of his career at Nebraska.
Yep.
All right, we'll finish the hour. We got an update with Jimmy coming up here in a little bit. Here is Chicago Bear Lance.
Woo!
Already given up on Michigan? That's okay. The Ohio State University.
Not at all, man. Hey, man, we had a great draft weekend. But before we get there, since you were talking about Nebraska spring game, let me ask you this. Did you think Rayola was the number one guy after the first week or the first couple of days?
I thought he was the number one guy, Lance.
Anything?
I thought he was the number one guy in December.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
He didn't have any type of struggles or anything in spring. He was just good all the way through.
He had a couple of bad days. But he looks
more good days than bad.
More good days than bad. He's different than the other two.
No, I understand that. Yeah. Like I said, I understand where we're at today.
Hey,
I just wanted to know
how I
was.
You'd almost be rooting for him to have like a handful of bad days.
Right.
Really?
Because you know this. Hey, listen, Lance. This is like Caleb Williams. How many quarterbacks do you know that are high-level quarterbacks, they have always been the best player on their team?
Mm-hmm.
Always. From day one, they've been the best player on their team, and things have come so easy for them. And then they show up in college, or even more so in the NFL, and they're not the best player on their team, and there's things that they've been able to get away with in the past that get exposed at the college or the pro level, and I'm always curious on how do they adjust and they learn. And I think, not speaking about Caleb Williams, but I think the guy in Lincoln has enough in his tool bag that he'll be able to adjust to frustration.
Okay. And adversity. Okay. All right. Hey, that's good. Hey, like I said, hey, I saw what you saw on Saturday as well. So, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I just want to know, was there a progression or was it when he walked in he was good as well? Or, you know what I mean? So, he looked, you could tell the difference. And it's interesting in this day and age for a guy like Harburg, right, who started a couple games last year, who came back and actually got better you know what I mean, in the off season, but he's still not good enough right to beat out the Rolla because he's clearly the number one. So do you go transfer portal or do you sit back and say, hey, I'm just going to, you know, compete. I'm okay with the backup role. Like, it's interesting in that dynamic in this day and age where it's, you know, you can go other places and be successful. There's a lot of TV and eyeballs and a lot of other schools where you can get, you know what I mean, where you can get your opportunity. So it'll be interesting to see how that dynamic goes as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the Harburg one for me, Lance, is I know a lot of people are going to throw the whole, well, he's a Nebraska kid, it means more to him. And that very well could be true when it comes to long-term decision-making. But I also think this is just from watching it, a guy that was completely limited of what he could do with his arm. And I'm not saying he's the finished product, and I'm not trying to say that what you saw on Saturday is what you could expect if he was ever given the football in any type of capacity and significant minutes in an upcoming game in the fall. But I think he understands the improvement he's making. There's a reason behind that. I think it's not only what's in the quarterback room with seeing how a freshman makes it look so easy, but more importantly, a quarterback coach that is able to elevate his play. And in my opinion, if you wanted to take what you learned in the spring, walk away from that, and then try to adjust to a new system, boy, it'd be pretty tough to start back over, in my opinion, as opposed to continue the momentum that you're gaining from a guy that clearly has something going with the ability to elevate your ability to throw the football. I think that would be a tough thing to leave.
Well, how many years does he have left? Is that like two or three?
Two, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, hey, man, listen. Quarterback is the only position. It's the only position where there's only one guy. You know what I mean? There's no subbing in. And so, I mean, what you also don't want to do is say, all right, I've gotten better. I come back another year. I lose a year without using the skills that I've learned. You know, like, it's not as hard as you think, man. A quarterback is a whole different deal. Like, it's not running back, a receiver, a lineman. Like, there's only one. So,
but here's
you want to be the one,
but
you know.
But he just went through a season last year where they played multiple quarterbacks, and Nebraska hasn't had a quarterback start game one and start every game afterwards since 2017.
Yep.
That's got to also weigh in your mind if you're not able to beat out Dylan Raiola.
Yeah, but those other guys weren't good enough as well.
Yeah, but injuries happen all the time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, and I'm with you on that. So, yeah, are you comfortable with that? If you want to be – yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just we're in a different day and age. And if he does, I'm not saying he's wrong either way. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, it'll be interesting to see going forward because he's gotten a lot better. And so I see that, too. And,
we're up against it. Quick thought on your Bears.
Okay. Hey, man, we had a great – hey, man, that first day, that's all we needed, man. They did right. They got the quarterback, obviously, and then they got the receiver. So I'm good. We're heading in the right direction. Caleb Williams doesn't have to be the savior. He just has to play above average.
Yep.
And, man, we'll be okay. I feel good and optimistic. Ryan Poles and them are doing well in the offseason and in the draft, you know, this year, offseason, this last year. The last draft I didn't really like, but, hey, I think we got better. They've done better and we've gotten better. So I'm just happy to be optimistic and
got punting figured out too, Lance. We got punting figured out now.
Yes. Hey, that's a great get. Hey, that guy was Iowa's offense. You talk about a punter to get.
Yeah.
That's the punter you get because he was the MVP of Iowa's offense. And what is Iowa going to do now? Well, I guess
we'll find another one, I'm sure.
Hey, Lance, have a great week.
All right, thanks, fella.
They're already printing shirts, by the way, in Chicago. It says punting wins football games. So
Iowa State fan had to be triggered. An Iowa punter went before your top draft prospect in TJ Tampa.
But a special punter, to say the very least. A very special punter.
And I was happy with my haul.
Yeah, you should be. You should be.
Didn't change the Super Bowl odds at all.
Yeah.
Still Kansas City and San Francisco. I think people would be bored of that. I think they just want Kansas City, not San Francisco.
But don't we love the villain? Isn't Kansas City now put itself in the villain because it got Chiefs fatigue?
No, people love Taylor Swift now. Yeah. All right, Jimmy's got an update coming up next. More on the spring game. We'll talk more than quarterbacks this morning. Also, we'll talk some college baseball and When is the NBA press release coming out today? It's 7:05. It's Mornings with Sharp and Hanley. An update with Jimmy is next.